For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Natalie Powell. Sweden has dropped the rape investigation into WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who's been holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London since 2012. However, UK police still say they will arrest him if he leaves the building. Ollie Barrett reports from London.
Swedish prosecutors are dropping a rape investigation after Julian Assange was interviewed in the Ecuadorian embassy 6 months ago in the presence of Swedish officials. He's always denied the allegations and has always also insisted it formed part of attempts to have him extradited to the US to face charges over the leaking of classified documents. London's Metropolitan Police says it is still obliged to arrest him over a bail offence if he leaves the embassy, but says the level of policing of the building will now reflect that less serious allegation. Julian Assange has tweeted a picture of himself smiling. WikiLeaks says the focus now moves to the UK, saying London still hasn't confirmed or denied whether it's received a US extradition warrant for Mr. Assange. Ollie Barrett, London.
The man who drove a car into pedestrians in New York's Times Square has told police he heard voices during the incident. An 18-year-old girl died in the rampage and 22 people were injured. Police have ruled out terrorism as a motive, and the man responsible has been named as 26-year-old Richard Rojas. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio described the driver as having had a military career and previous convictions for drink driving. A US military plane was intercepted by a pair of Chinese fighter jets over the East China Sea, according to American Air Force officials. The incident involved a US sniffer aircraft that can test the atmosphere for signs of nuclear activity. Kevin McAleese reports.
The high-tech carrier was conducting a routine mission on Wednesday in international airspace when it was met by two Chinese warplanes. Officials say the US crew described the interception as unprofessional, but wouldn't say whether it was unsafe, although officials say one of the Chinese jets came within 150 feet. The US plane was on a mission over the East China Sea to detect radiation at the time of the incident. The sniffer, as it's known, has been used in the past to collect evidence of possible North Korean nuclear tests. The US Air Force spokesman said the issue is being addressed with China through appropriate diplomatic and military channels. Kevin McAleese, Washington.
And for more on what our reporters are doing, you can like Feature Story News on Facebook or you can follow at Feature Story on Twitter. Over to Iran now, and the country is going to the polls to vote in a presidential election. The current president of Iran, 68-year-old Hassan Rouhani, is in the running against three other candidates, with his biggest competition expected to come from former prosecutor Ibrahim Raisi. If no single candidate gets 50% of the votes, a runoff will be held next week. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, FSN. It's Friday the 19th of May 2017. It's 1 p.m. Well, it's actually 3 minutes past one as I chat with you. It's great to be with you. This is Friday View with Richie Allen in association with davidicke.com.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
It is indeed. Welcome to it. Always good to have your company. You can tweet at Richie Allen Show. Email Richie at richieallen.co.uk. Tweeting is instant and it's quick. And I've got Twitter open right now. So if you've got any opinions or any comment on the stories covered this hour, do feel free to share them with me. So this is a brand new show, and it's in line with the new summer-autumn schedule that I published earlier in the week. From now on in, Sunday View will be live at 11 a.m. The Richie Allen radio show in association with davidicke.com will be live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7 p.m. We'll be at BVTV Television Studios every Thursday at 9, and then we'll have Friday View live on the radio again every Friday at 1 p.m. We have yet to make memes. It seems you can't teach anybody anything these days without memes. We'll make a meme with that information and we'll put it permanently on our social media pages. Exciting times ahead. Enjoyed doing the first, well, not quite the first, but a dry run of the brand new Richie Allen television programme last night at BVTV. I didn't think I would be speaking with Hayden Hewitt again so soon, But there is a massive story in The Independent today about the Conservative Party manifesto. And it is a story which outside The Independent is getting scant or zero coverage on UK mainstream television and radio. What is that story? Well, that story is headlined in The Independent: Theresa May to create new internet that would be controlled and regulated by the government. It is as bad as the headline sounds. The text and the meat on the bones of that story is supported by the headlines. Now, Hayden Hewitt is as well placed as anybody to talk about this. He co-founded LiveLeak.com, which remains inside the world's top 500 most viewed and most visited websites. It is a news website. LiveLeak.com has been responsible over the years for publishing many, many, many videos from places such as Serbia, Bosnia, Afghanistan, Korea and elsewhere. Videos made by people which contradict the mainstream narrative. So this will directly affect Hayden Hewitt at LiveLeak.com as much as it will affect those of us associated with DavidIke.com, with the Richie Allen Show and other independent news outlets. 6 minutes past one. It is Friday, May 19th, 2017. If you're joining me on Twitter, welcome to you and welcome to the programme. We will get to that story with Hayden Hewitt in about 15 minutes' time. Before we do that, though, to the biggest story of the day, at least covered by the, again, the MSM, the mainstream media, and you might have heard it on the news there, that is Sweden's Director of Public Prosecutions has dropped the rape investigation into Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. Marianne Nye, or Marianne Nye, N-Y, filed a request to the Stockholm District Court to revoke his arrest warrant. That apparently ends a seven-year standoff. You will know by now, of course, that Assange has been living in the Ecuadorian embassy in London since 2012, trying to avoid extradition to Sweden because he feared he would be then sent on to the United States, where he is wanted for leaking hundreds of thousands of secret US military and diplomatic documents. He's 45. Recent pictures and images of him have shown him not looking very well. I suppose if you were locked up in a house for the best part of 5.5 years, I suppose you wouldn't look so well either. The brief statement from the prosecutor said the Director of Public Prosecutions has decided to discontinue the investigation regarding suspected rape, lesser degree, by Julian Assange. He's always denied it, of course, and he was interviewed in the embassy in Ecuador 6 months ago in the presence of officials from Sweden. However, if he leaves the embassy, it is possible that he could be detained by the Metropolitan Police in London and face extradition to America. Now, Sky News reporter Ashish Joshi was outside the Ecuadorian embassy a couple of hours ago, in fact, about an hour ago, and had this to say about Assange and the UK police.
He's certainly aware that there is an interest from the United States in speaking to him, and that interest will be translated into an extradition request. But I do have a statement from the Metropolitan Police. We've been in touch with them this morning, and they have issued this statement. They've said, this is about his extradition to Sweden and the arrest warrant that was issued against him. And they said, Westminster Magistrates Court issued a warrant for the arrest of Julian Assange following him failing to surrender to the court on the 29th of June 2012. The Metropolitan Police Service is obliged to execute that warrant should he leave the embassy. But this is the paragraph that will clarify their position. Whilst Mr. Assange was wanted on a European arrest warrant for an extremely serious offence, the MPS response reflected the serious nature of that crime. Now that situation has changed and the Swedish authorities have discontinued their investigation into that matter, Mr. Assange remains wanted for a much less serious offence. In other words, when he was wanted on allegations of rape, there was a uniformed police presence outside the Ecuadorian embassy, hugely controversial policing operation. That will now be scaled down because he is not wanted in connection with a European arrest warrant. He's wanted in connection with skipping bail for that. But now that charge has gone away, or those allegations have gone away. The Metropolitan Police Service certainly indicating that they are not that keen to speak to Mr. Assange.
Now, WikiLeaks has tweeted today that the focus now moves to the UK. WikiLeaks means that the UK has refused to confirm or deny whether it has already received an extradition warrant from the United States for the arrest of Julian Assange. They won't talk about that. So who is Julian Assange recently? I posted on Facebook a bit earlier on that I've never had a lot of time for him. I've explained why many times over the last few years. A couple of interesting comments about that. Michael Lawrence tweets, never had, it doesn't tweet, posts on Facebook. Michael Lawrence posts on Facebook, and this is his post. Never had much time for Assange. What the F? He's helped awaken half the world to the dark truth behind the charade that is the American political system and military-industrial complex. In short, he's already done way more than you'll ever do, dumbass. But you see, he hasn't, Michael. He hasn't. And Michael, you might learn to engage with people without slinging names at them. Maybe I could take some of that medicine myself sometimes, he thinks. Pot calling kettle black. But listen, listen, listen. First of all, I don't do anything. I provide a platform where learned men and women who have information which contradicts the mainstream narrative, they come on and they share that with us. I don't do anything to wake anybody up. I'm a presenter, I'm a journalist, I'm a questioner of people. That's all I do. Second of all, Michael, Julian Assange has not helped wake the world up to the military-industrial complex. Nothing like it. In fact, I'm going to submit that Julian Assange has done nothing, nothing to promote openness and transparency in the 21st century. With Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning, he released cables and information that we already knew. That we live in a ridiculous surveillance state. That we are being listened to, watched. We are being attacked, barraged with information. Followed around by the deep state. We knew all of that. There was nothing new in any of it. Nothing. Okay, the helicopter video of the soldier shooting dead civilians, liveleak.com, way before Assange, through other websites owned by people like Hayden Hewitt, were releasing videos of abuses committed by US forces and other armies of NATO. They've done nothing, WikiLeaks, to wake anybody up, in my opinion. And that's why I've always suspected this guy. Who is this guy? Well, he set up WikiLeaks in 2006. It publishes confidential documents and images, making headlines back in 2010, as I said, with the 18 civilians being killed by the helicopter given to him by Chelsea Manning. Later that year, he was detained in the UK after Sweden issued the warrant. And 18 months later, he ended up in the Ecuadorian embassy. He was a hacker before that. He grew up in Australia, a programmer. And I've never believed that he was who we were told he was. A thorn in the side of the system. Somebody whose organization was absolutely feared by the establishment. Again, they never released anything earth-shattering, nothing life-changing. Where were the leaks about the Israeli influence in the United States, in Germany, in the UK, in London? Where was the information about the support of jihadists from Saudi Arabia to cause mayhem in Syria through back channels of the MI5, MI6, Mossad? Where was all that information? They've not done anything, really. So I don't have much sympathy for WikiLeaks, Assange, or the guy I interviewed, Kristen Hrafnsson. I think ultimately they threw Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden under a bus. Assange started wearing 3/4 length leather jackets, fixed his hair up all nice, and started acting like a celebrity. I've no time for him. Couldn't give a damn about him. He's done nothing to advance the information war, and he's done nothing on the real issues of the day: depopulation, elite paedophilia, and don't mention the Podesta emails. Don't even go there. That's what I would say about Assange. I'm moving on. I don't want to talk about him anymore. Amber Rudd is the UK Home Secretary, which is in her department, of course, is in charge of policing. She went and spoke to the Police Federation this week. This is important, this. She was asked about cuts or further cuts to the police in the UK after the election. And would you believe it? Food banks came up again. It isn't just nurses going to food banks to feed themselves in this country. It's also the police. This is a little snippet of the Police Federation taking on the Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, Conservative.
What party of law and order, as you put it, cuts 20,000 police officers?
We're a party that defends the budget of the police. We made sure that the police budget was frozen from 2015 to 2019, protected even.
Is there any way you can aspire to that 2.8% over the next 5 years if you're elected on June the 8th?
Well, the 1% pay freeze is in place till 2019-20, so I don't want to mislead anybody.
But that's just people that stand in the way of that, isn't it? There's no sort of law of physics that says it can't change. It could change if you wanted it to.
You tempt me to make a commitment that I couldn't possibly give, but I won't do that.
Let me tell you the reality in my force. This is one force. We have a force welfare fund, which is a charity. And we are now seeing police officers come to that charity for food vouchers. And that's not to have luxuries, that's to put food on the table or to put fuel in the car so they can get to work. So the words that you used in your speech, Home Secretary, is that right for the public and is that right for the country?
I understand that that must be difficult for the police officers and indeed for their families. The average police officer's earnings is about £40,000 a year. So I'm surprised to hear that. That's what I'm told, that the salaries and the overtime.
Roundly booed and roundly mocked by the police officers there, as we've gotten into in many other programmes, there is an agenda, just as there is with the NHS, to decimate and destroy policing for two reasons. One, to privatise the police, and two, to deploy the UK military on UK streets. Yeah, that's actually what the agenda really is. I'm not making that up. So the police force must be destroyed. And it is being destroyed. Okay, that was Amber Rudd, the UK Home Secretary. Remember the allegations about Bashar al-Assad and Saydnaya prison? Do you remember the allegations about weekly executions? That dissidents, anti-government protesters are being taken to Saydnaya prison outside Damascus and they are being killed in their thousands. Do you remember these allegations? Well, they took a more sinister turn this week when there was a claim that there was a mass crematorium at Saydnaya prison burning bodies. Amnesty International had a part to play in it as well. Photographs were spread around the media through the US State Department. This mad bastard is not only killing people at weekly execution parties, but he's also burning them in a mass crematorium. Well, apparently on Monday, 4 days ago, and I didn't know this, and there's a reason I didn't know it. I work pretty hard for you and for me, and I'm across the media. There's a reason I didn't know this, but on Monday, the US State Department did say that it might not be a crematorium, rather a warmer part of the building, and the US State Department did say that shortly after it said Assad is burning the bodies. Assad is burning the bodies. Somebody in the press said, well, are you sure about that? And they said, well, no, we're not. And of course, the UK and European press didn't report on that. Hours of coverage of the claims about the burning of the bodies, nothing about the fact that the State Department admitted that it might be something else. If you missed the State Department, say it for me, their press conference where they claimed that there is a crematorium. This is it. It's very brief.
Good morning. We now believe that the Syrian regime has installed a crematorium in the Saydnaya prison complex, which could dispose of detainees' remains with little evidence. Although the regime's many atrocities are well documented, we believe that the building of a crematorium is an effort to cover up the extent of mass murders taking place in Saydnaya prison. The United States is on record and has stated many times that we are appalled by the atrocities that have been carried out by the Syrian regime. And these atrocities have been carried out seemingly with the unconditional support from Russia and Iran.
Yeah, the unconditional support from Russia and Iran, unsubstantiated as well. Now, he said this. The guy was Stuart Jones, by the way, at the State Department. Guess what? Shortly after he said it, he was asked this by a reporter. Now, I don't have the audio. I'm going to read you the transcript. The reporter said, "Mr. Jones, can I just, one very extremely briefly, what makes you so sure that this is a crematorium and not just some other building? Is it this thing with the snow melt? Because, I mean, people are going to look at this, the regime in particular, and the Russians, who are going to look at this and say, well, all this proves is that there is a building there, and that that part where snow is melted is simply warmer than the rest of the building. It looks." Jones cut in. "So if you look, so obviously these photos date over several years. If you look at the earliest photo, the August 13th photo, this is during the construction phase at these facilities. The discharge stack, the probable firewall, the probable air intake, this is in the construction phase. This would be consistent if they were building a crematorium. As then we look at January 15th and we're looking at snow melt on the roof. That would be consistent with a crematorium. So," and a reporter interjected, "or just a warmer part of the building, right?" To which Jones replied, "Possibly." Possibly. Possibly. Holy Jesus, possibly. And that was not reported by the media of the United Kingdom, the United States, or any NATO country. None of that was reported, just the claims that Assad is burying bodies, Holocaust-esque. Bodies are being chucked into ovens after weekly execution parties. And finally for now, 21 past the hour, you'll know all about this. A man who drove a car along three blocks of pavement in New York's Times Square, which unfortunately killed a teenager and injured 22 people, said he'd heard voices. Listen up. He'd heard voices telling him to do it. He also said he expected to die. The man is Richard Rojas, 26, a US Navy veteran. He was arrested twice previously for drink driving. He's now in custody. He said after being arrested, listen up, he said, "You were supposed to shoot me. I wanted to kill them." Rojas has been charged with second-degree murder, aggravated vehicular homicide, and multiple counts of attempted murder. He's going to appear in court later on Friday. That'll be later this afternoon here, New York time. He'll be labelled schizophrenic by the media, and in the minds of those people who get their news from the usual outlets, he will be simply, it'll be put down that he's schizophrenic. Most of these people won't have heard of mind control. They won't have heard of voice-to-skull technology. They'll have never heard of people like Barry Troer, who's worked for the Navy for many years, working on these energy weapons and voice-to-skull technology. I don't know whether voice-to-skull technology was used or not. I'd be a terrible presenter if I said it was. I don't know. Could very well be that he's schizophrenic. It does happen. But you gotta wonder. Driving cars onto pavements to kill people. Where have we heard that before? And the statement he made, "You were supposed to shoot me. I wanted to kill them." I wonder, was some program put in his head that he was in some sort of game or some sort of drill? I wonder. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com for Friday, May 19th, 2017. Very quick break. On the other side of that, the co-founder of LiveLeak, Hayden Hewitt, joins the programme.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not being seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill
children there, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2, available now at premillonpictures.co.uk.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and Tune In Radio today for Friday, May 19th, 2017. It's terrific to be with you. 25 past the hour. As we record, this is 25 past 1 London time. I tell you that because if you're listening to it on YouTube or on Podomatic a bit later on, you might think they missed something. We didn't. It's live now as we record it. 26 minutes past one for Friday. Right, massive story in The Independent today, which is a UK broadsheet newspaper, if you're listening to this outside the United Kingdom. Recently went online exclusively because, well, newspapers are having it very tough these days. Andrew Griffin, writing in the tech supplement of today's paper, writes this. Theresa May is planning to introduce huge regulations on the way the internet works, allowing the government to decide what is said online. Particular focus has been drawn to the end of the manifesto, which makes clear that the Tories want to introduce huge changes to the way the internet works. Some people say, this is a direct quote, some people say that it is not for government to regulate when it comes to technology and the internet. We disagree, say the Conservative Party. Let me briefly read another paragraph of this, then we'll introduce our guest today. The new rules would include laws that make it harder than ever to access pornographic and other websites. The government will be able to place restrictions on seeing adult content, and any exceptions would have to be justified to ministers. The manifesto suggests the government might stop search engines like Google from directing people to pornographic websites. We will put a responsibility on industry not to direct users, even unintentionally, to hate speech, pornography, or other sources of harm, the Conservatives write in their manifesto. The laws would force technology companies to delete anything that somebody posted when they were under 18. But most unusually, they would be forced to help controversial government schemes like its Prevent strategy by promoting counter-extremist narratives. There is much more to this that we'll get into now with our guest. I didn't expect to be speaking with him so soon after yesterday, but nobody is better placed to discuss this. He's the co-founder of LiveLeak.com, which remains one of the world's most visited websites, which has done remarkable work over the years as a video sharing platform where people in countries in the Middle East, in the Far East, in Africa, where there has been conflict, where it has been reported on the mainstream media, LiveLeak has enabled people with a different narrative and with footage that often contradicts the mainstream narrative. LiveLeak has enabled people to upload those videos. It is a vital resource. Hayden Hewitt, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Richie. How are you? This is a little sooner than I anticipated. A
little bit sooner than we'd anticipated. I was sent this story by an old friend of ours, Ben Gelbloom, who produced me at TPV. Great guy, Ben. Independent journalist, writing for a number of Fleet Street publications in London. Ben is aghast. Well, here it is laid bare, mate. What's your response to this?
It's knowing where to start, isn't it? First of all, we're dealing with a party so confident in itself, it can announce the most draconian and dreadful things without fear of being taken apart. They've even already released their counter-argument, which basically revolves around, we're right, you're wrong. All the language they're using is perfect. They're saying it's about bullying and paedophiles as if that happens on the internet. You know, as if it's that's an internet thing. We know most sexual abuse is actually overwhelmingly carried out by family and friends. Bullying happens, but we're being sold it. We're being sold this attractive idea. And there are just a few things to pick out from this. They're going to crack down on Facebook and Google to ensure news companies get enough advertising money. Now, that one sentence alone should make you realise who's been lobbying really, really, really hard for this. They deserve a fairer share of money than anybody else. The government is saying people, let me see, this is fantastic, should be able to go onto the internet without fear of abuse, criminality, or exposure to horrific content. I'm going to imagine particularly that horrific content that shows the end result of our government's adventures abroad. I imagine that plays into it. The whole thing between this, Trump putting his guy in the FCC in the States, patently anti-net neutrality, between this and that, we are looking, and I know it sounds so dramatic, and you know, I hate fear-mongering, I despise it, but we are actually looking at the end of the internet as we know it, the removal of the level playing field, and this goes beyond just information. We're denying the next generation their right to be online entrepreneurs, to thrive. We're denying people the right to be a dissenting voice because the government will decide what can be published.
To make it simple for people, Hayden, we can say that this is the privatisation of the internet, right?
Absolutely. Between this kicks the doors open for governmental interference in corporations. The loss of net neutrality hands the internet to those corporations. What we're seeing is, because the internet, for all its faults, and it has many, is doing okay in the hands of companies and individuals. It's not that bad. It's not creating problems on a massive scale, but it does show those problems. It does allow people to discuss those problems. And what we're moving further and further towards is a time when ISPs, through financial pressure, can shut out smaller sites. So, you know, the loss of net neutrality, as I explained many times, just means, put simply, your blog, not just yours, anyone listening, your blog has the same access to people as Facebook. Think about that for a moment. The same access, the same possibilities. Net neutrality removes that because bigger companies will have to pay to have access to the public at speed.
How interesting.
So both of
how
these
interesting
things
is
together
this?
Are the end of the internet, mate.
They are, because you more than anybody else in recent years have talked about the dangers of people abandoning websites because of their belief that Facebook is the only game in town. So you've talked a lot about that. So what you're describing now is these people going on Facebook and Facebook limiting their reach and their access to a wider audience. At the same time, through the plans of the Conservative Party, ISPs are going to start squeezing people who don't want to be on Facebook. People like you and others who operate LiveLeak.com, who operate even InfoWars, whatever you might think of it, you know, other great sites, DavidIke.com and whatever. Those ISPs are going to be squeezed into making life very difficult for the standalone websites that we just mentioned.
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of commentary online, well, we can just get VPNs, we can just use Tor. Yeah, that's great for a very small minority of us. Yeah, I can pay £5 a month and do have a VPN, see anything I like, but the majority of people won't be able to, and the minority of people will not keep things going. The internet's amazing. It's almost, in a way, the zenith of our achievements, because we've created a perfect open source, open access communication and information repository. People have the ability to learn anything, right, wrong, good or bad, it doesn't matter. They have this ability not to be taught, but to learn. And that doesn't sit well with corporations who can't really monetize that, or governments that don't like not having the control. And then you've got the big media outlets saying, well, we demand fairer. What is fairer advertising? How can it be more fair?
Well, it's nonsense, because most of these organisations are operating 24/7 and they're operating on cable channels where every 7 minutes they're taking ad breaks. Most of their content is dictated by their sponsors anyway, so they're making money hand over fist. It's a ludicrous claim to make about fairness of market share and fairness of money share.
Do you know what the problem is for these companies and similar large corporations? The internet monetization models aren't great. They're okay. You know, you can, some people do make a lot of money, most people don't. But you can usually sustain a site, you know, because it's either cheap enough to run out of your pocket in a non-damaging way, or you cover just enough with advertising and ad revenue and such like. These companies, mainstream media, are used to a far higher yield than you get on the net. The net doesn't work like that. The net demands you strip it down. You take away some frills and fancy trappings. You know, you don't jump straight into the Canary Wharf offices. It's you and three friends, and it requires that kind of guerrilla outset, which in its own way, yes, it gives us a proliferation of fake news, but it gives us a proliferation of opinion and information. And they can't operate in that way because they're very top-heavy, massively management-heavy. They rely on milking the cash cow constantly, but the more people are hemorrhaged out to getting their information elsewhere, it does, in fairness, hurt the mainstream media companies more because, as we all know, many people say, oh, I'd like them to be gone and finished. Most of the alternative media feeds off the mainstream media anyway, even if it's just a shout about them. But their organisations can't cope, same as the music industry can't cope. And I'd like to put this, if you don't mind, into perspective for people. If they don't think this is a senseless attack on the internet, this will damage ingenuity, entrepreneurialism, the ability to make money. Keep in mind, the internet generates, in let's say in the United States alone, far more tax income than Hollywood and the music industry combined, by many times over. If they're willing to damage that, it's because of powerful lobbying interests. And we're seeing the same thing here with our government ministers, powerful lobbying interests dressed up to protect us, because you know they're going to roll out ISIS as a reason to do it soon.
They are, and I want to talk about the reasons, and I'm going to correct myself as well. I said a minute ago that they're making money hand over fist, and they are, but it must also be pointed out that their audience has been dwindling for a number of years. It has, and I keep an eye on the numbers, I keep an eye on the figures, the BBC 24 figures and Sky. The numbers are coming down as more and more disillusioned and disenfranchised people go looking for programmes. And I'm with you, when they go looking, they will find independent radio and television shows that are properly produced and presented, and they will find garbage. But that's for them. That is for them to determine and them to understand and them to get to grips with what they can trust and what they can't trust. I want to talk about these reasons. Yeah. You're the father of a beautiful young boy, and you will obviously be as concerned as any other parent about how he's getting on when he's at school, and if there's any kids in the school that are maybe doing things they shouldn't be doing. Now, you're a dad, and you will educate him. But as to this thing about online bullying and this idea that internet companies would pay a price, they would pay a levy to governments, and governments would use that levy to buy advertising to teach people how to use the internet, isn't it up to people like you and your great wife and other parents to say to Junior, listen, pal, this is the internet. This is what happens online. If you see anybody saying this, just shut
don't
it off.
Don't copy your daddy.
Don't copy your daddy, number one. But if we leave that big elephant aside for a minute, you know, if you see anything online you don't like or that isn't acceptable, let me know about it and we'll just make sure you don't go on that website again. That's the way we deal with stuff like that, right?
This is the thing with this. Look at what you just mentioned, the levy to pay for. Look how the demonization goes. That's only happened before in this country with gambling. Gambling
That's
is
right,
a
gaming.
Terribly addictive and destructive thing to do. Adults should be free to do it. I agree. I personally don't get a thrill out of it. So they put a levy on gambling companies to pay for this advertising to say, gamble responsibly. When the fun stops, stop. That should do it, right?
Yeah.
Every bit as effective as the AIDS iceberg.
Yeah.
Well, they're demonizing the internet in the same way. What are the dangers of the internet? Talking to strangers, don't get ripped off by a credit card scammer. Oh, they're actually, you know, remarkably similar to the dangers you face in everyday life. There's no difference. Just the delivery mechanisms a little different. All the key dangers they mention exist out in the meat world. Why are we warning people about the internet? Why don't we just educate people to don't talk to strangers? You know, in fact, I think we used to have adverts about that when I was a kid. You know, don't.
That's right, don't talk to strangers.
Full of cash. Don't trust the smiling man that wants your credit card number. You know, it's common sense stuff. But now we're being demonized that the internet's a thing. And people who are online do this a lot as well by saying, oh, don't be like that. It's only the internet. So it comes from both sides, to be fair. But the internet is not an autonomous monster. It's just people. And common sense applies. Obviously, with my son, when we've been talking to other parents at the school, which I'm occasionally forced to do, one of them said, oh, I'm worried about online bullying when my son gets older. Are you? So, no. Although, to be fair with me, it'd just be a case of, move over, son. Let me show you how it's done.
Let me add him. But of course you'll be saying to your son, and any, you know, any sensible parent would say to their child, listen, some bloke in Scarborough or Skegness or Timbuktu who doesn't know you or anything about you, what difference does it make if he says something about, you know?
You know, Junior's got long hair, he likes metal, he's not like all the other kids in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a really, you know, I don't want to start bragging about a kid, he's a really open, lovely kid. So I had a word with him about when these people say things, and I had to moderate my language because my wife's very keen on me not encouraging to believe that most human beings are beneath him, obviously.
Yeah.
But why would you care what they think? Who are they? They're not your friends. They're just, don't worry. And it's got to be the same online. Why are we all so thin-skinned? Look at this thing recently with Piers Morgan saying, I don't get non-binary. I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, he's now, a bigot. He's a bigot.
Well, here's the thing. That one line that
he's transphobic, apparently.
I don't understand. He's all of a sudden, you're a... No, I can't say grow a pair, can I? That'd be wrong. But, well, grow a pair. Get over it. Walk it off. You're offended. What is happening to us? This must be so, so pleasurable for governments. We've turned into this pliant, easily led, self-censoring, self-hating group of morons. And we're going to swallow up this legislation because they'll sell it to the Daily Mail readers on the back of, yeah, but we're getting rid of immigrants.
Yeah.
And ISIS and paedophiles. There you go. It's all about ISIS, paedophiles and immigrants and benefit scroungers. And
this is truly Orwellian. I spoke with Frank Faraday from the University of Kent a couple of weeks back. Again, it's one of these series of interviews that we're doing to take us away from the garbage, because there's so much garbage calling itself independent media crap. You know, basically shows that are full of libelous comments about people, claims that are unsubstantiated. So we invite people on like that. Listen, we have an agenda. We invite them on because they agree with us. but we invite them on because they agree with us from within the establishment. Mm. And Frank Faraday says, listen, this is part of an Orwellian, sinister newspeak agenda. It is about the sanitisation of speech, and it is about the impositioning of a rule for everything by the authoritarian state. So whether it's about non-binary, whether it's about you have to drop the word pregnant woman from hospitals because it might offend the 1 in 20 million transgender or whatever, this is a sinister thing. And my contention has always been is that the really credible researchers within the independent media who talk about a hidden hand, whatever that is, behind the governments of the day. This is about the prevention of the exposure of the reality of what's really in charge and who's really in charge of what's going on. Because you and I mean, LiveLeak is a verifiable testament to the mendacity of the free open world, a free and fair society. If you work hard, you can get along. Our governments are virtuous, their governments are evil. Go to liveleak.com, folks. Look at videos from places in Central Africa, in Eastern Africa, in Eastern Europe, going back years, and see the reality of the world. And ultimately, Hayden, they want to do away with that, mate. All of it.
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, here's how it's tied up in the news speak. They want to regulate the kind of news that is posted. To protect reliability and objectivity of information essential to our democracy.
That's directly from the manifesto, is it, that quote?
Oh, yes, that's directly lifted. I wrote it down myself. Protect. It's essential to our democracy, Richie, that the government have control over what we see, hear and speak. And they don't want anyone to see horrific content. It just... You know, every time I've been banging on my net neutrality for 12, 13 years now. And nowadays it's worse than ever because it's become, a lot of this is down to Alex Jones as well. This one thing I really would, he won't answer me, but I'd love to drag him over the coals for this because he says it's wrong, it's a communist thing, let the free market do it. And I've pointed out, Alex, the only reason you are where you are is because of net neutrality.
Absolutely.
He could never have managed what he's managed without that level playing field, without the unfair charges, without it being a gamed system.
But he is the establishment now, you see. Alex is the establishment. He is the establishment.
He is. Yeah, absolutely, he is. He's completely backed the establishment. He has to follow that through now. He's got no choice. It's terrifying what's going on. I mean, genuinely, I'm not given to these, you know, big... As you know, I try and boil everything down to common sense everyday things that you can deal with. But the truth is, there's no getting around this. And if any of you listeners take anything away from this, we need a movement. And I can't do it. I don't have the reach or the influence.
Neither do I.
We need people to stand up because this is an end to one of the few freedoms you have left. This is an end to an avenue of you being able to better yourself based solely on your creativity and ability, because you can do that online. It has been done many. I'm not talking about build a Facebook. They're aberrations. You know, that doesn't. But I know a lot of people that have had one good idea and through their own hard work and ingenuity and without getting massive venture capital have made very profitable businesses online. This is an end to that. It's being closed off because what you have to be is born, educated to a bare minimum, work a shit job and pay your taxes, and then die before you retire. And preferably don't learn anything that's uncomfortable, don't know more than you should, don't get ideas above your station.
Do you know what's
even... illusion, this is the end, what we're seeing.
It's the end if it's they get away finished. With it. Do you know what goes alongside that? A friend of mine who works occasionally at the BBC and who has worked in Ofcom compliance spoke to me a few weeks ago. Now, I haven't shared this with my listeners. This is the first they will have heard of it. And just to put some perspective on this, a show like the Richie Allen Radio Show, which is a standalone radio show, not connected to any network. I'm not a radio station with a schedule. It's just our show that goes out there. Up to this point, I can do that. Not anymore. Ofcom, people who know and work with Ofcom compliance, and just to explain what that is, Hayden knows all about Ofcom. There are people working for every news organisation, every media organisation in this country that ensure that the production team making programmes are compliant with Ofcom. They're called compliance officers, right? So this is the story. Whispers, but they're not just Chinese whispers. They're, you know, there's an element of seriousness to all this. Programs like ours, no more. Sometime in 2018, we're going to be contacted and told you've got to be Ofcom compliant. You've got to have a license to broadcast online in this country. Even if you're not part of a schedule, you're not part of an organisation, you've got to be compliant. Now, why is that a worry? Well, that's a worry because when programs like this talk about forced adoption, when we talk about satanic paedophilia, Ofcom can say that that is harmful content. Mm-hmm. And if it's harmful content, you shouldn't broadcast it. If you do broadcast it, we'll fine you. And as Hayden Hewitt will confirm, and I'll shut up, if you continue to do it, men will come to your house and confiscate your equipment, right?
Here's how it works, even simpler than that. Yeah. They are allowed, even though they're not actually a legal body, they're allowed to fine you an unlimited amount.
Unlimited.
What that means is, unlimited just means we'll fine you more than you can afford.
Absolutely right. Shut
That's
you down.
Just what it means. You're shut down. You're gone. But that's where grouping together, that's where working together is important.
Beyond Vision.TV and projects like that. And
yeah, all other projects like that, and not having no editorial stance on the actual organisation, let the individuals do that. But the problem is, in alternative media, and I always harp on about this, and I feel kind of bad picking at it, but we're our own worst bloody enemies, mate. I mean, look at the comments, even on some of your threads and Alex Jones's. It's just the same kind of polarisation that we all point at the proletariat for and laugh. But, you know, it's no different.
No, the sorry to interrupt you, but you're absolutely right. The consumers of this medium want, many of them just want to be told what it is they already hold dear. And if they're not, exactly, and if they're not told that affirmation, they scream and they bitch and they piss and moan. I get it all the time because I'm constantly, you know, trying to challenge the beliefs of my listeners, even if I agree with them. We'll at least put our own beliefs up there to be shot at and see what, you know, see what happens.
I can't speak for anyone else. I wouldn't enjoy an audience that we're all, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
With every single word you say, because that's some kind of Jonestown weirdness. But at the same time, we're so busy just trying to silence everybody. I mean, people talk about the Facebook algorithm in terms of locking you out from a market. What it really is, and this is my opinion, based on what I've seen it evolve and how it works, it's about locking you in with people you agree with more than it's about locking you out from anybody else, so that you will spend longer there. And an unfortunate side effect of that is that you become more insular and more attacking towards things that challenge you. But we're all on Facebook. Facebook is the internet. And it's, don't get me wrong, Facebook's a great tool. I don't think in and of itself it's necessarily evil. I do believe it's being used to some very naughty and unpleasant things. But it's doing what a business does, which is trying to ensure that people, its commodity, us, because that's all we are, we're a commodity, spend as long as possible there consuming the things that we are provided. And we're just all sat on there. I mean, obviously, it's always exceptions, so I've never had a Facebook account. Well, good for you. I've got a couple. I use it for business. It's great for business. I'm complicit in the downfall of the thing I love. You know, but that's the way it's heading. That's where it's all going. I'm genuinely, for the first time, feeling like, you know what? This might be over. And I get a lot of, well, it's lively. If I thought I could implement a change in this tomorrow, if I had the reach to form a movement where anything like that, I would walk away from Lively tomorrow to divorce myself from interests. Yeah. I would do it in a heartbeat. It would hurt me in many different ways, but I would walk. I wouldn't sell my shares. I would walk if I thought I could change this so that my son and the next generation have the opportunities that were presented to us that we dropped the ball on because we're more interested in posting pictures of our pets and dinner.
I want to read this line again just before we wrap it up, and we're coming up to the top of the year. And I want you listening to this, I want you to listen carefully. This is from the manifesto. The Conservatives will also seek to regulate the kind of news that is posted online and how companies are paid for it. This goes to this Damien Collins, the culture secretary, who's launched this investigation into fake news. I'm not going to swear today, he's a scumbag. I've contacted him several times and said, and again, this is not grandstanding or showboating, it's absolutely right and proper. Any hearing conducted at Westminster, any public hearing into fake news, is not worth the paper that it's printed on if it didn't invite the likes of David Icke to come and give evidence to it. It's as simple as that. And a number of us have contacted the committee and they've declined to even acknowledge it. We will seek to regulate the kind of news that is posted online and how companies are paid for it, say the Tories.
I'll leave you one thing with that, Richie.
Dystopia.
News will also cover opinion.
Of course it will.
That's when we're shafted. Because you're not allowed to have one. That's what's going to happen. This is coming down the line and everyone's apathetic and trapped up. For the first time ever, I've broke cover and told people who to vote for. And I'm now being accused of being a Labour supporter. I've always voted Independents or Greens, anyone except the big parties.
I know what you said on Twitter, and I totally understand it. Even if I don't agree with it, I completely get it.
We're not voting. We've got to get away from this voting for the person, because that's a nonsense inherited from our American cousins and reality TV. But we cannot vote for the Tories. And that doesn't mean vote for anyone else. Vote for the other big party. If only to throw, I know it's not going to be better. I know the no good. I know all these things. But do you know what? We have to do something. And that's all we can do right now.
Mate, it's always brilliant to hear from you. Hayden's websites, folks, go to beyondvision.tv, go to liveleak.com, follow Hayden on Twitter. It's at Hayden Hewitt on Twitter, at LiveLeak Show as well. He presents the LiveLeak Show at 10 o'clock UK time every Thursday night. Brand new schedule of live programmes just begun at beyondvision.tv. I'm sure we'll be talking about this again real soon, mate. So
sure we will. Thanks for having me on, Richie. I'll probably speak to you on Monday.
An honour. Thanks again, and thanks again for last night. Cheers, Hayden.
My pleasure. See you, mate. Bye.
The great Hayden Hewitt on the line to us there from Beyond Vision Studios. He's there pretty much every hour that God sends, talking about that story broken today in The Independent about the Conservative Party manifesto and their plans for the internet over the next Parliament. Staggering stuff it is, at exactly 4.5 minutes to the top of the hour. Right, that's kind of it for Friday's programme. Thank you so much for tuning into it. If you are listening to the recording of it, thank you for downloading it. Remember, this programme broadcasts live. Our show is broadcast live on davidicke.com Sunday to Wednesday. That's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday. Monday to Wednesday at 7 p.m. UK time, Sunday morning 11 a.m, Friday at 1 p.m. Again, we're going to make a meme explaining all of this, and the Richie Allen television show will broadcast every Thursday at 9 p.m. UK time from Beyond Vision Studios in Manchester. That's kind of it really for today. Do bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. David's website, which has been under development and under construction for a short time, is just about ready to launch. And I think early to mid next week, you're going to see a brand new, totally transformed in terms of the way it looks and the user-friendly nature of it. The website davidicke.com is going to be absolutely brilliant. That's online real soon. I reckon midweek, I reckon, if not Monday, Tuesday, probably Wednesday, Thursday of the coming week of next week. So enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Thanks for keeping me company and for thinking this programme worth listening to or paying attention to. If you can make a contribution to it, please do so. It really needs your help at a time when Google funding, YouTube funding has completely disappeared and is gone. Go to paypal.me/Richie Allen. paypal.me/Richie Allen. But we've posted bank account details on the website richieallen.co.uk as well. That's the website for us, richieallen.co.uk. Until Sunday morning at 11 a.m. That's 11 a.m. British summertime on Sunday. It's bye from me. Have a great weekend.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the dots or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2, available now at premiumpictures.co.uk.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Forever. Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.